I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. It asks Dr. Jesse Friday. And we're going to do some more debate talk. You have some more questions and things like that about the debate. We are going to touch briefly on this Supreme Court stuff today. We had really good things happen in the Supreme Court today. And we've been beating them up all week because they've sucked it up. But they did a couple things that are big today, really big, and we'll get into all those things. I'm going to do just a little bit more debate talk, and then we'll dig into that. Jesse, today they're talking about the 25th Amendment. Why? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So I wanted to. Okay, so you're seeing this a lot today, and I need to clarify the 25th Amendment for those who may not know. It's the removal of the president because he's not able to do the job. Essentially, the 25th Amendment was put in for this exact scenario. I'll be honest with you. That's why the 25th Amendment is there. It's there in case you have a president who can't do the job. And let's set all the joking and laughing aside for a moment. The president of the United States of America is really, 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 really important. Majorly important. Not just for the country, for the entire planet. It is really important that the president is not only coherent, he's got to be sharp. He's got to be thinking. He has world-changing decisions that come across his desk regularly. Absolutely, regularly. Now, I want you to listen to this. You've already heard it, but I want you to listen to this. Listen to this with this ear. Joe Biden just had a big G7 meeting. You know the G7, the seven most powerful. You know how that works. He meets with six of the most powerful world leaders. Behind closed doors, they're negotiating, talking about things, planning on things. And when presidents have these conferences with foreign leaders, I don't know if you know much about or you've read much about FDR, for instance, when FDR would go meet with Churchill or Churchill and Stalin and things like that, the man himself, not just his staffers, not his general, not the man himself has to be there negotiating, thinking, talking. This human being just met with the most powerful leaders in the world.
Look, there's so many young women who have been, including a young woman who just was murdered, and he went to the funeral. The idea that she was murdered by an immigrant coming in. They talk about that. But here's the deal. There's a lot of young women are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters, it's just ridiculous. And they can do nothing about it. And they try to arrest them when they cross state lines.
Thank you.
That human being is the top executive in the United States of America. Now, the question is, do you use the 25th Amendment? It would have to be done by his cabinet, just so you know. His cabinet, I believe the rules are, I haven't checked on them in a while, I believe the rules are 8 of his 15 cabinet members have to agree to implement it. So it's not as if one person, it's not like Dome can just say, hey, get rid of him, 25th Amendment. There's a process, right? There's a legal process for it. So his cabinet members do it. And I saw congressmen, senators on the right, GOPers today talking about it. Hey, 25th Amendment. I saw Chip Roy, who I like. I'm friends with Chip. He's a great congressman, one of the few good ones. He said, hey, 25th Amendment, it's time for the 25th Amendment. And then I've heard the arguments both ways. Yes, we have to have the 25th Amendment. No, we can't do that. Then we'll lose the election. Well,
Here's the truth. There are more important things than an election. There are. And it's not as if I want Kamala Harris to be president of the United States of America. And you do explain this. How much do you know about cities being bombed? Have you ever thought about it? If you World War II is a great thing you can read about it because that was really where a lot of it happened. But there are many examples, sadly, throughout history of cities being bombed. It just sounds like hell. It sounds like hell. You wake up one morning and you're digging through the rubble that used to be your home looking for your child who's gone. That's what bombing cities is. World War III, whenever it kicks off, and everyone knows it'll kick off at some point. Please, Lord, let it be 1,000 years from now. But at some point, there will be one. You're not dumb. I'm not dumb. It's coming at some point. World War III will have more death and misery and destruction than you or I can possibly fathom. It would come with more heartbreak and tragedy for all of us. No one would escape it. No one would. It would be unimaginably bad because of the destructive nature of the weapons today and the range of the weapons today. And World War III is a possibility with a president like this. You realize that? Because he's not actually running the country. So that always begs the question, who is? Well, Victoria Nunes is. Susan Rice is. Barack Obama is. Real America-hating communists are making all the decisions. They're the ones opening up the border. They're the ones doing these things. They're the ones pushing further and further and further with all this Ukraine stuff. No, I don't want to lose the election. And look, electorally, if we're only talking electorally, yeah, leave Joe Biden there. Ha, ha, ha. We'll all make fun of him for a long time and then we'll win the election. Yeah, I agree. Electorally, I want him there. There are bigger things than one election. Bigger things. A carrier group going to the bottom of the Pacific. Bigger things. Bombs landing on Los Angeles. Bigger things. A tactical nuclear weapon going off in Central Park. Bigger things. And it doesn't feel right now like there are those bigger things because we're not experiencing them right now. And as Americans, to be frank, we've never experienced that kind of devastation ever on our homeland. You'd have to go all the way back to the Civil War when the weaponry wasn't there yet to do that. But you'd have to go back to the Civil War to find ongoing combat in urban areas around civilians and the tragedy and how horrible that was. It would be unimaginable. And it doesn't seem real, and it doesn't seem important to us because we're not experiencing it right now, and we never have. Even our parents haven't. Even our grandparents haven't. Well, my grandpa was in World War II. I'm not talking about what happened in Germany or Okinawa. I'm talking violence and death and bombs and misery on our shore. You don't know what that's like. And I don't know what that's like. I only know what I read. And the stories, they just rip your heart out. I saw a video one time. In fact, I'm sure you could find it if you want to look it up. But it was this little old lady. I think it was Oklahoma, but don't quote me on that. A tornado had just gone and torn through everything. And she had lost everything. Her house was flat as a pancake. And all she cared about was her little dog who was still in the house. Now, it has a wonderful ending. It's actually great. You can see it on video. I believe it's the reporter sees, wait a minute, it's the dog. And by some miracle, the dog lived. And she ended up pulling her little dog, who she loved. She lived alone. Pulled her little dog out. Oh, it's Muffy or whatever his name is. It doesn't matter. But go watch that video. And picture that being you. Or me, digging for your wife, your husband. There are bigger things than an election. The president of the United States of America is not a functional adult. It's not that he's a Democrat, a Republican. It's not that he's left. It's honestly, it's not even inflation. It's not even the border. It's the border is where that nuke would come across, I should note. But it's not even any of that. The president of the United States of America has to be a functional adult. It's really, really, really important. We can't have this anymore. Now, they're not going to do it. This is just my personal opinion on what I want them to do. But don't worry. If you don't want them to do it, they're not going to do it. They're not going to remove him in that way. But my opinion, they should. All right? All right. Someone's worried after last night. I'm a little worried, actually, about something kind of different. Hang on. We'll talk about it.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm only doing a couple more debate things, and then we're moving on to other things tonight. In fact, we got to get to this Supreme Court talk. But let's do this. Someone said, hey, Jesse, I'm a little nervous now. The system doesn't let anything happen willy-nilly. We were allowed to see Biden in his natural state on purpose. What was their plan? Okay, so I've gotten a lot of this, and I certainly understand this way of thinking. Hey, there's only one way they would. This is a plan. They planned on doing this. Well, let me explain. Because my wife actually had the same thought last night. Hey, wait a minute. They set him up. This had to be a setup. Michael, producer Michael, first thing he said when we walked in, we were all making fun of Biden. He said, that was a setup. All right. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But I disagree. Here's the truth. They have worked. They've bent over backwards. Both Biden and his media handlers have bent over backwards to protect him since the moment he announced he was running against Trump. You know, you remember all the things they did, the things they've been caught doing. Cue cards when he's supposed to be doing Q&A. When he stands up and actually does a press conference. Remember how many times Joe Biden, because he can't control his mouth, has gotten up and said, they told me I need to call on Amber with NBC. You know, he can't help himself, so he gives away the game. They have bent over backwards to protect him. No events late at night. Small windows. Very little Q&A, if at all. They have done teleprompters everywhere. However, at some point in time, he was going to have to stand up in front of the American people and do a debate. He was going to have to, no matter what, no matter how rigged the rules were. And the only way he could possibly have gotten out of that, the only way he could have gotten out of that, no one could have run enough cover for him to get him out of that. The only way he could have gotten out of that is if he was far ahead in the polls and didn't think he needed to. If he was ahead in the polls and thought he was winning, even if it cost him a couple points in the polls, they probably would have said, hey, no debates. Trump's a felon. No debates tonight. Sorry, we're not doing any debates this time. Not with a felon. They would have made up something stupid like that. Oh, my voice just cracked. Something stupid. Anyway. But he got behind. He got behind, and his numbers were going down, 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 down before last night. And remember, these people poll test everything. I've worked in political circles before. Remember, I ran for Congress twice and lost twice. And then I lived in D.C. for a year in political circles, and I still know all these people. Republican and Democrat, they poll everything you can imagine. It floored me when I ran for Congress because I had no political experience and I didn't realize it. And you start working with this guy who's a pollster and you have to pay for it. And they'd send over a list of questions and I'd look at it and be all, wait, what? They want to know everything. They're always asking, what are the issues people care about? What's their concerns? How are we doing? And they split it all up demographically too. How are we doing with white men 55 to 65? What about Hispanic women from 24 to 36? They break it all down. Every little bit of it.
Joe Biden's people heard repeatedly that everyone's worried about his functionality. He looks old. He looks senile. I don't think he can do the job. I don't think he can do the job. I don't think he can do the job. So he didn't have an option. He got a debate that was rigged completely in his favor, but still, there were no training wheels allowed. He had to stand up there and perform. And he didn't.
With the COVID, excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
That was the one thing he couldn't afford to have happen. And that's what happened. Dear Indian Jones wannabe, all your linen pants talk made me go buy a pair. I look ridiculous and you should be ashamed. Oh, just enjoy your linen pants. To my question, you've been saying for months they will replace Joe Biden at the convention. After his embarrassing and frankly sad performance last night, it looks like it's going to happen. Isn't that what we don't want to happen on the right, though? Shouldn't we want Joe to stay on the ticket? Anyone they put up will have a better chance at beating Trump than Joe. And this is kind of how we'll wrap this whole thing up. We'll talk about the Supreme Court. Obviously, Joe Biden gives us the best chance to win an election. And you've heard me talk before about how capable Gavin Newsom is. He's a vile, slimy little snake, but he's pretty good at politics. Dome is terrible at them. Michelle Obama, probably good at them. Hillary Clinton, dreadful. I don't think there's some Democrat all-star waiting in the wings, though. Granted, Joe Biden, anyone would be better than Joe Biden if you're a Democrat. But at this point in time, it would be a long, hard slog to try to grab anyone, even one the public knew, and try to convince the public that that person should be president of the United States instead of the one they know. You know, they know Biden and they know Trump. They know those two guys. Both have been president. They know them. Hard to pull someone off the scrap heap. All right. Now, great things happened today. Great things happened at the Supreme Court level. I'm freaking excited to talk about it. And we have to talk about this really quickly. Signing a pledge. That's about the easiest thing in the world. Have you ever signed a pledge before? I've signed a couple in my lifetime. It's really easy. You just go sign it. It's not breaking bricks in the hot sun. You just go sign the pledge. So IFCJ, International Federation of Christians and Jews, they have a pledge they want to hand to Netanyahu. What's the pledge say? Hey, we are praying for you. We stand with you. We are praying for you. We've got your back. That's all it is. We are standing here and we have your back. And all they're asking is for people to sign this pledge. That's it. 5,000 people. As soon as they get to 5,000, off to Netanyahu it goes. I think they're at like 1,000. Go sign the pledge as a favor if you wouldn't mind. Support ifcj.org. If you agree, that's your thing. Support ifcj.org. Not asking for anything but a signature. Right? Go sign it. All right? Good things happened at the Supreme Court today. We'll talk about it next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can email us still. We are live, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. One final word on the Trump thing before I do the Supreme Court stuff. I think I've already said final word, but here's another final word. This is my final word. I am worried about something. I'm not sure if I can put it into words, or if I put it into words, I'm worried about freaking you out unnecessarily. So let me just lay it out here. Communists cannot control themselves. That has always been a huge weakness. All they know how to do is eat and consume and eat and consume and destroy and destroy and destroy. We often think they think strategically, when really they're just destroying the 2 inches in front of their face at all times. Just destroy everything at all times. So Donald Trump is now, he was ahead in the polls. By the time the new polls come out, he'll be comfortably ahead in the polls. This is going to be, it's going to look like a bloodbath when the new polls come out. You know what's still coming? Hasn't gotten here yet? Donald Trump's sentencing in New York for those garbage 34 felony convictions. And remember what's on the table there. Maybe probation. Maybe house arrest. Maybe jail. It's up to the judge. The dirtball communist judge who's a Democrat activist. Now, if they throw Donald Trump in jail, politically, it would be the dumbest move possible. The public, Norm and Norma, especially after last night, they would reject that outright. Politically, it would probably be what we want, to be honest with you. Not that I want Trump to have to go to jail, but politically, it might wipe out the Dems in the Senate and the House. That's how bad that would probably prompt a reaction from the public. But the communist can't control himself. He can't. When he has an opportunity for something, he just eats and destroys, and he eats and destroys, and he eats and destroys. What if this judge, after last night, what if he throws Donald Trump in jail? And then allow me to bring something else up. And then I'm going to move on, because I hate what I'm about to say. I despise it. If you're the system, you want the White House. There's a lot more to the system than the White House, but it obviously helps when you have the big chair. You want the White House if you're the system. You now kind of know you're not going to get that White House if Joe Biden is taking on Donald Trump this November. So you already know my theory about them trying to get Joe Biden to step down or whatnot. Joe Biden has announced today many times that he's not stepping down. In fact, he announced he intends to go to the second debate. What if the system decides to get rid of one of them? And I'm not saying which one it would be, because I don't know. And I know this sounds far-fetched, and it sounds tinfoil on your head. Do you think the system would hesitate to get rid of either one of them? Jeffrey Epstein did some time in a New York jail. Some very powerful men didn't want Jeffrey Epstein around anymore. The guards fell asleep and the cameras malfunctioned, and Jeffrey Epstein didn't wake up the next day. I don't know, but I am worried about a desperate system. I am. And honestly, I'm worried for Biden too. Do you think they're beyond that? Absolutely not beyond that. I don't know. We'll see. All right. What happened at the Supreme Court today? I will just say before I go, Josh Hammer recorded a little 2 or 3 minute thing for me to kind of lay it out in more legal terms than I would ever use. Allow me to just say this in normal person terms before we get to Josh and all his lawyers speak. A couple really great things happened today. One of those great things involved the January 6th political prisoners. The Supreme Court struck something down that was used to way over jail and overcharge these people. A lot of these January 6th political prisoners are either going to get sprung or at least get out earlier than they would have before. And these poor people deserve it. That's freaking wonderful. So that happened today. And then something else happened today called Chevron. Again, I'll let Josh explain it in this nerdy video. But the agencies, the bureaucracies, they had huge power. Huge power. They had way too much power in this country. This took that away today. It took a lot of their power away, and it was a good day. Honestly, that Chevron case It's probably way bigger than the debate itself. Here's Josh Hammer's little explanation. Just, it's a lot of lawyer speak, but for you smarty pantses out there, you'll understand it.
What a day today at the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's start with the Fisher case, the January 6th case. So this is a case involving the application of the 2002 Sarbanes-Oxley Act. This statute was always a very poor fit for the J6ers. This statute was passed in the aftermath of the Enron accounting scandal. Another, under my view of statutory interpretation, there is a doctrine called ratio legis, reasonable law. Sir William Blackstone, the great 18th century English common lawyer, described this as the overarching purpose of the statute.
Yeah, we had a good day. I'm going to cut that off there. Anyway, let's get back to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Dear King of Red Lobster, seems we don't get many wins these days, but I'm going to smile all week. Government overreach got shot down today, and he was talking about the Chevron case. Am I a patriotic fool, or is this really a good win? No, what happened today in the Supreme Court was so good. It was so good. And allow me to just maybe give it a little bit more detail than I did before. So let's say you have the SEC. Security and Exchange Commission, all right? Not the football conference. The Security and Exchange Commission, all right? Let's say they decided on their own to just govern, to make rules on their own. What had happened was the courts, they used to punt back to the agency, the regulatory. Oh, yeah, good one, Chris. ATF's an even better one, the ATF. So someone goes to court and there's a court case about guns and what classification is. The courts had, because of the previous law, the courts had said, well, that's not up to us. It's up to the ATF, essentially making the ATF, that dirty scumbag organization, essentially making them these unelected bureaucrats who you can't touch and I can't touch. It made them powerful. It made them lawmakers because the courts would kick it back to the ATF. And this had been going on for, I think, 4 decades in the country. This had been going on, these regulatory agencies getting all the power, being able to govern, being able to do whatever they wanted. This eliminated that today. It struck it down. It said, no more. This goes back to the court system. No more will the ATF make these decisions. It's a good day. This is a good day for those of us who want smaller government, limited government, for those of us who are rightly afraid of how evil this system is and how powerful it's become. It's a good day, a really, really, really good day for more reasons than just the debate. Jesse, I'm a woman who has had to make tough decisions for multiple family members with declining mental faculties in their latter years. I'm saddened and appalled when I see Jill Biden campaigning for her husband, and I read reporting that indicates she's fully in favor of her second term. Shame on Jill Biden. Yeah, look, to walk out of that debate after her husband did that and do this, I'm just amazed.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts.
What an evil woman. What kind of a woman would do that to her own husband? Would allow her own husband to cement his legacy as the doddering old fool who can't talk? That's how he'll be remembered now. And not only did she let him do it, she's encouraging him to do it again. It's friggin' wild. All right. Let's talk about, why are there so many freaks in the federal government? Have you noticed this? There's a new luggage stealing tranny every week. What's going on? Let's talk about that next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and what a Friday it is between the Supreme Court, the debate. I got a smile on my face, so let's keep going after it. Jesse, why do you think RFK is getting the shaft? Could it be the Democrats are afraid of him because he might lean right, or because he wouldn't play foot soldier as well as Biden? Okay, RFK. Look, RFK is definitely a different guy. He's not for me, but he's dead nuts on about a few issues, especially when it comes to pharma, big pharma. So let's talk about this really quickly. Big Pharma, the pharmaceutical industry in this country, is completely out of control. Out of control. And not only are they out of control, they control both parties. Both parties. They give gigantic amounts of money to both political parties. They have their lobbying arm. You want to do a little homework? Here's a little homework for you. Just I'll let you do it yourself, unless you're driving. Go look up the largest lobbying industries in the country and tell me what you see. They spend gobs of money, billions and billions of dollars lobbying the government. And they have the game rigged because they put their own employees on the FDA to approve the things they've done. You understand that it's not supposed to be every other TV commercial as a new pharmaceutical drug? Have you ever seen the numbers on how overly medicated Americans are compared to other nations? And I'm not talking about dirty countries with no civilization whatsoever. Modern countries, America is by far the most heavily medicated country on the planet. And these pharmaceutical giants own Republicans and Democrats. You want to talk about the system? Big Pharma is as powerful a part of the system as any other part of it. It's as powerful as the media. It's as powerful as the White House. It's as powerful as all of it. Mega, mega power. Huge amounts of money. So you ask about a guy like RFK, who's not for me. I admit he's not for me, but I certainly understand the appeal because he is the guy. Look, if you're going to lump all three of them in there, he's the only guy who legitimately wants Big Pharma taken down. He goes after them all the time, relentlessly. Now, look, like I said, I don't judge you if you're an RFK person. He's not for me because of the gun stuff, because of the climate change stuff. Look, he's just not for me. He's not for me. I could never get there. But I do like what he has to say about Big Pharma. He's dead on about that. And there's no party, not Republican Party and not the Democrat Party, who would get behind a candidate who actually wanted to take down Big Pharma and break up this gigantic Big Pharma monopoly, because that's a critical part of the system. And he wants to. And as far as Democrats go, why wouldn't they embrace him? It's a very, very, very dicey thing to challenge the guy who's currently in office from within your own party. I've warned you about this. I've warned you about this when I encourage you to primary these loser Republicans in your area, whether they're on your city council or state house or school board, wherever they are. If you've got these loser rhinos in your area, you need to primary them. Look, I did this. Now, my guy wasn't in office, but he was a state senator at the time. I was running for Congress. He decided he wanted to run for Congress. And I experienced what it was like to have my own party. I was Republican, registered Republican, to experience my own party trying to tell me to butt out. Get out. Wait your turn. You just got here, Jesse. You shouldn't be here. He's this. He's that. He's been doing it. And granted, I went and kicked his teeth in the primary anyway. But still, I experienced what it was like. And I've warned you. Now, you should still do it. I'm just warning you. I'm prepping the ground. If you're challenging the party, the status quo, and you have to save the country, it gets uncomfortable. Now, that was on a local level, or at least congressional level, and you'll experience this on a local level. How much heavier does that get when it's the president of the United States of America? It has been done before. It has. By both parties, it's been done before, but there's a reason it's so rare. There is a reason it's so rare. Yeah, you're right, Chris. Look, you have a big weight on your shoulders, and it's heavy.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Might be 20 boxes heavy. Might be 30. I don't know if you have the shoulders for it. But that's why they're not going to get behind RFK. Oh, wise Oracle. I can't help but believing the communists are performing a massive group struggle session on all of us. The current regime appointing appointing of obvious sexual deviants, the weird bald tranny stealing women's luggage, and now the latest freak with the mustache, to the highest positions seems like they're saying to us, hey, you who loves this country, look how we're destroying it. I need to ask, is this humiliation for its own sake, or is there a strategic move here for the communists too? His name is Ken. It's actually a very interesting question. Just off the top of my head, think about the conga line of freaks who have gone through this White House. Do you remember monkeypox? As soon as COVID was wrapping up, they decided to try to keep the old pandemic gravy train running, and this monkeypox thing came out. And then they figured out it was only gay dudes who were doing orgies who were getting it, but they still tried to scare us about monkeypox. And remember, they had to bring in someone for a monkeypox task force, and they went and found that guy. I can't say his last name, Dr. whatever his name is. And the guy is a Satanist. He has a sign of Satan tattooed on his chest, and there are pictures of him in leather chaps at gay nightclubs. Just a nut job, an absolute nut job. And they brought him in as the spokesman for monkeypox. So what's the deal? Is this just humiliation for humiliation's sake? Why does this keep happening? It happens a lot now. Let's talk about that next.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.